grace of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture that burst on my sight. Angels descending, rain from above, echoes of mercy, whispers of love.
The chorus now.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I and my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Amen. This next song is one I don't think we've sung it a whole lot. It's an old, old hymn. It's a powerful message. Close to Thee.
Gate of life eternal, may
I enter, Lord, with thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, close to thee, the gate of life eternal. Is that the first time you've ever sung that song? Anybody here? Okay. That's about half of us. Okay. Yeah, it's a great song. There are some tremendous old hymns that have got a lot to them, and that's one of them there. This last song, Only Trust Him Now.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Here I am, the little short man, using that personal pronoun again. I don't know how you feel. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know if you're going to rejoice in this day. But I can speak for me. I will rejoice in it. Amen. I'm just gonna keep it real. I am nervous. Not because I haven't done this already, but Father's Day is very special to me. I promised myself that I would not get emotional, I would not cry, but if I shed a tear, there's somebody else I know that wept. That don't mean I'm less man. Come up here and touch me if you want to, because I cry. Might have to lay some hands. I ain't talking about praying either. Amen. I'm just a country boy from a country town called Indian Town. I believe that if it's right, you should do it. If it's the truth, you should tell it. I believe that wherever I go, I get opportunity to speak, I should stand up, speak up, shut up, and then sit back down, amen? That's just my belief. Sometimes, you know, we come to the house of worship, looking at other people's, seeing what they look like. But guess what? They're probably looking at you too. Looking at what you look like, amen? But it's good to be here this morning. To this awesome pastor, Pastor Bruce. And first lady on the other side, Miss Debbie. I know they already engaged in women's honor about breakfast yesterday. I gotta say something. I kinda like to indulge in the delicacy of the table. They had some breakfast over there that was good yesterday. Now I love bacon. And they had bacon on that big cake sheet spread. You know, if you fry it, it kinda get crunky and all crispy and shrink up. But if you lay it on that thing like they had yesterday, ooh-wee. I had myself some bacon, boy. It was good. And then Pastor was, you know, Pastor Ruby monitoring, making sure everybody go one time. Once everybody go through, you get to come back a second time. I couldn't wait, boy. He say, there's plenty. You ain't got to tell me twice. That was my breakfast, boy. That thing was good. To all the ladies that cooked that, thank you. God bless y'all. Yeah. Yes, sir. And Brother Gerald said a few words yesterday. I was hoping he didn't look at my notes, and he didn't. It was good to see him. Not to hold you long, but I just gotta say thank you, Lord. And when I look back, and Craig brought it to everybody's attention, and it was Ed, I had to go back there and give him a hug. I say there is a God, and he's still in the healing business, amen? He is. Now y'all should be shouting and flipping over backwards and doing somersaults and said yes, because I know he's the only one that God had touched and healed somewhere down the line. Amen? Amen. Lord, I thank you. Thank you for Father's Day. Amen? And I'll take a look. I see some people that came a little distant. I see my cousin, Emmett Mitchell, back there. He's from Atlanta, Georgia. Emmett. I see my cousin, Isidore, from West Palm. Well, everybody know Kenny. Kenny will make himself known. I don't care where you go. That's just Kenny. Cousin Troy, Kenny, brother, and my family, everybody. We all are God's children. Amen? Good to see y'all this morning. Father's Day. I said I wasn't going to do this, but you know I'm going to do one verse anyway. Oh, Lord, my God, when I am all some wonder, come. consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Now y'all can help me with this. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Thank y'all for the help. Thank you, thank you. Now, Happy Father's Day. Oh, and my another cousin just popped through the door. Military guy. Amen. Good to see y'all. Coming by surprise. Mr. Ed, if you could find 1 Corinthians for me, the 4th chapter. And this first part is very important. Very, very, very important. No, I'm not going to bash fathers either. So, ladies, if that's in the back of your mind, that's not going to happen. I think that they get enough of that. And there are a lot of good fathers right here in this town. A lot of good fathers in this church. And before I get started, you ever notice that if a son grows up and God bless him to be very athletic and he make it to professional sports, become a celebrity, or NBA, baseball, or whatever. Whenever he does something great and he put that camera in his face, what the first thing he says? Hi, Mom. Okay. Wait for it. Dad never comes. What about the household that had Mom and Dad? What about the dad that took them to practice and stuff? I get it, though. I truly get it. I get it. We're going to talk a little bit about dad and mom. Amen? Amen. Hi, Mom. 1 Corinthians, 4th chapter, verses, start at verse 14. I'm reading from the Nelson Study Bible, I believe. It says, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Verse 16, I'm going to read all that here down to verse 17. Therefore I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of all my ways in Christ as I teach everyone in every church. Now, Ed, if you pull verse 15 back up and leave it up there for a minute. Oh, I don't see the cordless mic because I feel like moving. Okay, now, this is Paul writing to Corinth. And Corinth is like this crazy church. Not like us now. Like this crazy, wild, radical, worldly church who has encountered with Jesus. Amen? Amen. Now, when they encounter with Jesus, they're in the process of trying to grow. They haven't mastered it yet. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit. but they have carnalities. And from time to time, you can see that in them, the Holy Spirit and carnality. Thank you, Pastor. And Paul is discipling them and developing them, which is what the church is all about. You should come to Bible study, come to Sunday school, come to church, and grow. See, you don't go to church because you are perfect. You go to church because you're becoming who God wants you to be, and you need to be fed, because anything that's not fed won't grow. You got to be fed, whether it's physically or spiritually. If you're not fed physically and you don't eat, sooner or later, you will be out of here. Amen. But to be fed spiritually, you have to have that in order to grow. So, in other words, what you saying, Brother Drayton? Open up your Bible, study it, and come to church, come to Sunday school, come to Bible study, and get fed. Amen. I remember this picture over my bed. There's a picture of both of my daughters, Renisha on one side and my youngest daughter Natasha on the other side, and I'm hugging them, got my arms around them. And above that picture, it says, any man could be a father, but it takes someone special to be our dad. I like to say I played a dual role, but you know what? That's true. If you are a man, there's nothing wrong with you biologically, anatomically, physically. There's nothing wrong with your reproductive organ. Yes, you probably could be a man, a father. But when it comes to being a dad, come to being someone special, you got to put in a lot more time. Amen. I remember Natasha and some more girls and a lot of people out at Tyler Power Park many years ago. Everybody had these kites, flying the kites. She over there crying because her kite couldn't get up in the air. Got a lip dragging the ground. Said, baby, what's wrong, daddy? My kite won't go up. So what daddy do? Daddy was out of shape. Daddy was tired. Dad just got home. But daddy grabbed the kite, take off running. Put in the kite. Get the fuck out. I look over at her. She's still crying. The kite finally got some wind upon it. It got higher. Gave me some more. And boy, you're talking about the beautiful, awesome look on my daughter's face. I will never forget. When she saw her kite up there, and I put it in her hand. She was enjoying that kite, man. It was just flying and flying. And she went, whee, and let it go. No, you didn't, baby. I looked at it. I ain't running after that. But she never forgot it. She never forgot that experience with her daddy. Never, never, never. That's a dad. Dad do things like that. Dad. Fathers. That was a dual role. I'm her biological father and her dad. Getting back to this, Paul is writing to teach them and develop them, to help them. See, we get a lot of advice from all kinds of places. We get a lot of voices these days. People, everybody know what you're supposed to be and what they think you should be. Everybody. You get it? Let's just keep it real, like the young folks say, keep it 100. You get it at home. You get it on the job. You get it at family reunions. You get it from your friends. And Lord, social media, you get it on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, MySpace, your space, his space, everybody's space. You just get it in social media. Everybody wants to tell you what you're supposed to be. But listen, once you get a relationship with God, he will show you. He will direct you. He'll let you know. If you're doing it and it's not working out, it's probably not for you. Amen. The scripture says 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. See, a father is one that has made a deposit in you. There are many, 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 many people that give you advice, but they have not invested in you. If a person is not investing in you, you think they want the best for you? Maybe, maybe not. But if they invest in you, who do not want something positive on their return? I love to invest in my kids. I love to see them grow up and do better than me. Of course. See, when I was at Fort Valley State University, every now and then I'd come home to mom and dad's house. But see, I had a key. I didn't have to ring the doorbell or knock. I just go on in. And when I go in, what's the first thing Brother Drayton do? If I see mom, hey mom. If I see dad, hey daddy. But that's it. Straight to the kitchen. Straight to the pots. Because I know Lonnie Drake will have something in the cooking. And I just open it up. I look at everything. You know why? Because I know I'm going to get some of everything. I don't ask for it. I just do it. Why? Because that's my father's house. I have access to his blessing. I'm privileged to it. Now, a stranger can't do that. If you are a stranger and you come to that house and the door happened to be open, I bid you, don't come in. You can't come in and do what I do. I'm his son. Because if you do, at the very least, you're going to call, you're going to dial 911. That's if you're lucky. That's, I mean, you know, if you're lucky. At the very least, and if they take too long, well, Lord, have mercy on your soul. Dad gonna protect his, and I will too. You may have the little extra weight on the side. I may call my brothers, and I'm not talking about Tony and Charles. Yeah, me and Smith and Wesley, we pretty good friends. You have to be part of the family. So I could do that. But when Paul was talking to them, my dad always said this too. He said, boy, when you come to this house, when you come here, you got straight arms. They hanging down. But when you leave, they're always crooked. You always carrying stuff away. I said, thank you, Dad. That's what we fathers do. You protect and provide and take care of your family. And a lot of them are here right here today. Not all men or fathers are hanging upon the tree, smoking weed, drinking beer, drinking Cristal, drinking Mai Tais and gin and tonic and screwdrivers and all that stuff. And you probably saying, Brother Drayton, what you know about that? I'll tell you what I know about that. I used to do it. Not the weed. I ain't no smoke no weed now. I used to drink. I did it. I'm a frat boy. I lived in a fraternity house. I'm a country boy. I saw things I ain't know existed. I knew about a keg party. But I didn't know what a toga party was. I lived in a fraternity house that I was privy to have my own room. And we had this big old dining area that we would always have these parties, and they had a toga party, and I seen these girls coming out, and they had sheets, and some of these sheets was cut so provocative. You know, I was young now. I was young. I wasn't married. I was young. I couldn't wait to get out there. I went back in, man. I went to grabbing sheets. I tried to tear them and rip them and cut them. But man, I need to get out there. I said, bro, no. You got to do it in a way that is appealing. I didn't know what no toga party was. But after that, every time we had a frat meet, hey, when we have another toga party, brothers? When we have another toga party, brother? That's our country boy. I didn't know. But I learned to do my work, because that little short man by the name of Charles Drayton, if I came home and had not passed my classes, and if I was failing and flunking out, he was short, but I'm sure he could have picked me up with one hand. Boy, I'm sending you to school for this. Amen. So you have to be engaged with your kids. Engage with your children. Now, as Paul was talking And we had Corinthians said that sometimes you have to separate yourself. And you have to listen to the word of God, which is God's seed. And when God's seed get into you, and you hear it, and you are begotten, some folks call that being born again. Amen? Now, there are many fathers among all of us that preach. But the fact that you know scriptures doesn't mean that you are a father. The fact that you have the gift of prophecy or have knowledge doesn't mean that you are a father. There are not many fathers that has a fathering spirit in the church today, and that's bad. Because in reality, if you don't experience fatherhood at home, and if you don't experience fatherhood at the church, you probably don't experience it at all. Amen. Now, let me talk a little bit about the notion of God as Father. It's meant to be intimate. When God says, I am your Father, it's more than I'm just your creator. He's saying that you are kin to me. I beget you. I cause you to live. Not just your natural father, but I cause you to live. When Jesus was teaching the disciples to pray, he started with our Father to express the intimacy of the relationship. I don't come to him just as a created being. I come to him as a son. That's my relationship with him. Even if I'm a bad son, even if I'm a messy son, even if I'm a lying son, no good son, even if I'm still, he does not unson me because I'm a bad son. I'm his son. My father, my earthly father, was the same. Now, Charles Drayton, if I came to him, or if I wind up coming in front of him and the police was standing beside me, I done did something wrong, he would take care of me. He probably put something on me when the police left, but I'm still his son. I'm still his son. I remember my brother and I, Reverend Dr. Tony Drayton, was coming from a party. We were driving a 69 Ford Mustang that my daddy gave us, fastback. We thought we was it. But it wasn't that fast, it was loud. We pull up to a light, all these young guys that had their cars and whoom, whoom. You know, we had that clutch, so we make it pop and shake a little bit, like we go do something, right? But it was loud, whoom, whoom. Man, them guys, take off, shoom. We just waved at them because we knew we couldn't catch them. We just go on drive. All the six-cylinder, whoom, whoom. But we wasn't walking. Thank you, Dad, for that six-cylinder Ford Mustang. But when we got home one day, somebody had told my dad that we was down there arguing, fussing, and cussing with the police. That's the biggest lie you ever heard it. Just because somebody say that they are your friend doesn't mean that they're your friends. When we got home, you have to know how my dad is. He was standing up, all 5 feet, four, whatever he is, hands on his hip. Come here, boy. If you dying there, give me the police word for word. We said, no, sir. That's all we had to say. He believed us. Because he had done tore us up so many times, he knew we didn't want another. We weren't going to lie. No. But as I move on a little further, when you're teaching them how to pray, to say, our Father, which are in heaven. So when you come to Jesus, you come to him not just as God, but as he is your Father. Now, when we generally render in the Greek as Abba, A-B-B-A, Abba, Abba Father, we don't really have an English word that captures Abba. We don't really have an English equivalent. Father don't really get it. It's more like daddy. It's almost like an intimate term of endearment. Amen? But when I first read Our Father, that translation was Abba. It actually is not, it's not. In Aramaic, it's Abwum, not Abba. Abwoon. A-B-W-O-O-N. See, I know some of y'all probably say, well, what are you talking about? Well, we got iPhones, smartphones, so some of y'all, you're going to look it up. One thing Brother Drayton will not do is tell a lie behind this podium, amen? If I said it, that means I done did my work. Homework, research, studying, I just know it, amen? Abwoon. Now, Abwoon really don't, it really don't have a word for, but if you break it down, Ab, which is masculine, father, daddy, womb, feminine. So when you put them together, Ab, womb, our father. So when you say our father, Abba father, which is Ab, womb, you're actually saying our father, mother. Because he is El Shaddai, all sufficient. You don't have to think of God as a gender because he is complete within himself. As a man, I might decide to have kids. But I can't. Thank God to that. Amen. I done seen, boy, y'all women, God, boy, Lord, y'all got it. Lord, have mercy. I can't. Not only that, my brothers and sisters, but even a woman, she may think about having kids too, but by herself, she can't. Stop looking at Maury and Jerry Springer's show. Well, you got these two ladies that are married and talking about, oh, we have a child together. No, you don't. Amen, somebody. You got somebody else's child, y'all done got married and talking about, this is my husband. This is my wife. You go in the household, now the kid's confused. Amen. Well, my brother or my friend, he got a male and a female, his mom and daddy. I got two ladies or two men. He confused. Amen. And even more than that, lest I hold you too long, let me tell you something else too. Women, I'm not bashing y'all. But when I was working at school, I don't get to watch these shows, so I kind of peek at them sometimes now. Now, you in there, and I'm watching this crazy show. They got the baby on the screen, got the man and the woman. The woman said that he's the only guy I've been with. I'm 1,000% sure, Maury, he's the father. I ain't been with nobody else, Maury. He is the father. The boy said, hey, she's been messing around. I've heard it. It's not mine. And then they go and get Dana. Y'all know who Dana is. DNA. Dana is 99.99% true. Amen? And he come back and here you are putting yourself all out on TV. You know, went all the way around high-fiving folks. You are not the father. And you go run in your bank. Listen, don't do it. If you don't know, say you don't know. Amen, somebody. Amen. You don't have to make yourself look like such a thing. Fathers, you too. When God created Adam, God also created Eve. God did not have to reach back in the dirt to create Eve. Now, if you find that in the Bible, show it to me, because I need to read it. When he created Adam, he also created Eve. She was already in him. Abba, Abba. Adam is a masculine expression of God. Eve, she's a feminine expression of God. And created ye him, both of them. So, this is what happened. God put Adam in a deep sleep. Y'all know the scripture. Reach in. Grab the bone, grab the rib, and pull Eve out of Adam. Amen? So in other words, everything that Adam needed was already in him. Everything he craved for was in him. When God pulled her out of him, Eve was right there beside him. And some folks said, Adam looked at her and said, ooh-wee. No, he didn't.
That just sounds good. You want to get somebody to laugh? No, he didn't. He looked at her and said, my God, she is me. The woman is me. She is me with the womb. She is me. Biblically speaking, he said, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She is me. So Eve is a man with a womb. Amen. So when he put him to sleep and he pulled her out. The first thing he looked was the hips, tips, and fingers and bumps and no. He said, she is me. Amen. So Adam, for lack of a better word, birthed Eve. She's a feminine expression of God. So, women, don't think that you are not an expression of God. You're just as much an expression of God as I am. When God created Adam, he created Eve in him. What happened many years ago, because the men dominated the church, you didn't get noticed as much. Now, with more men was in the church. You're not an afterthought, ladies. You're not an afterthought. God is ab womb, masculine and feminine. Now, so God, ab womb, for the lack of a better word, he birthed Adam. Adam birthed Eve. So what you talking about? Okay, well, Eve come with a womb, so she takes over the birthing process. Adam is the provider, the protector, the tiller of the soil. The woman is built to produce. That is that is not part of the curse. The curse was that she would produce in travail, T-R-A-V-A-I-L. That just means that in extreme labor's pain. You can look it up. Now, because she was built to produce, she was built with the womb to carry life. If she had not failed, she would still be producing. It's just that she would produce, not in travail. Follow me now. In travail meant that she would produce in pain, in labor. Not in travail, without being in the curse, because of how she was constructed and built, she will still be producing. She has a womb. She carries life. God gave her hips. You know why? So you can put that baby on them hips and that baby won't fall and she can go and do what she got to do. Tell me you ain't ever carry a child on your hip and the child don't fall. God knew exactly what he's doing. Amen, somebody. He still brought forth life. Adam, the tiller of the garden, be fruitful. Well, you can't be fruitful unless you what? Seedful. Fruit is a derivative of what? Seed. Be seedful. God would never ask you for something that he hadn't already given you. He gave Eve a womb. He gave Adam seed. The first man, Adam, gave birth to Eve. When God put him in a deep sleep, pulled Eve out. The second man, Adam, gave birth on Calvary. When they pierced him in the side, out of his side came out his bride, which is the New Testament church. When Jesus said, the New Testament is in my blood, they pierced him open on his side. The veil in the temple was ripped from the top to the bottom, and the church came out of Jesus' side, like Eve came out of Adam's side. Amen? Well, y'all might have to come to Sunday school to get some of this Bible study to go a little deeper. Because I got to move on really quick. I have seed but no womb. She has a womb but no seed. We come together. When you come together, the prophecy is realized. Amen. Now we have a lot of men here around in this town that I call surrogate fathers. As I hasten to a close. We have people like a guy by the name of Mr. Harvey. He had a gas station right across from Burger King back in the day. My father used to get gas from there. We used to go by and stop by and get gas also. But back then, gas was, I don't know, 30, 40 something cents, whatever. You can put that in. You got a couple of dollars. You ride all day long. You put that in your car. We got in that Ford Mustang. We went to Martin County High School. After high school, we went over there across East Stewart looking for girls. Amen. I'm telling you the truth. And Mr. Harvey said, oh, that's them Charles boys. I know him. I know I get paid. Then there was another man I like to recognize that was called Reverend Deacon Irvin Taylor. Right here in Indiantown, he was a baseball coach. Went on from Deacon to being a preacher. Then there was a man by the name of Mr. Bill Blair. I don't know if y'all know him. I'm a little more seasoned than some of y'all. Even Lewis Conley was my baseball coach. These are surrogate fathers. And there was a man by the name of Jay Decker, who was the owner of construction company, custom construction, I mean. And whenever we went out to play a game, I used to love, I couldn't wait to play Polo League baseball because he always sponsored it. Whenever we went out of town, we go to a restaurant, he said, let them get what they want to get. We were young. You know we can eat. And he did not waver. He was a surrogate father. Then there was a man that I got to call, Mr. Souza. Everybody in the town know Mr. Souza. Mr. Souza didn't play. Mr. Souza coached baseball, football. And if you ever did something wrong that he didn't like, the first thing Mr. Souza would tell you is this. Give me my uniform. Take my uniform off. But he was also a man that didn't mind going the south side of the tracks. During those days, predominantly the south side were people that looked like me. The north side was white people. But Mr. Souza didn't care. He would get in his truck, get in his car, go across them tracks, get those guys that were playing baseball, put them in his car, come across the track, bring them up here to practice. He didn't care. He didn't care if you were red, yellow, black, or white. If you was on his team, he was going to get you if you didn't have a ride. And would make two trips if he had to.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Amen. Mr. Souza was a surrogate father. He was very respected. If you came to the memorial service, you can tell because there was no room in here to sit down. Everybody was packed. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And I go on and on and on. My dad, Charles Drayton, had a van. He'd go around picking people up, take them to work. They called him Pop. Well, he had to worry about us because you know if he was there, me, Tony, and Charles was there. We'd be working from Cape to Cape. KC would get up, boy, KC would come home. But look, I turned out all right. Amen. And then there was a man by the name of Mr. Homer Wall. I'm sure God gave him a vision about the church. And look at this, all had come to fruition. I remember when I was a little boy, this wasn't here, and my girls were still crawling, and we was over on the other side. And they would always be, they embarrassed me because they were so little, trying to talk and preach, and they just making all this noise. And Thelma Waters, my aunt, she said, Renzo, yes, ma'am, come here, boy. Now, when they call you boy, they mean something wrong. You need to come. Take them children outside, let them run and play. See, they don't have the attention span like we do. Now, one thing about me is this. If you're right, I'm not going to argue with you. Yes, ma'am. Because you're right. I took them out, came them back in. But now look where we come. Now they got the children's ministry. They got the kids. I mean, look what God has done. Now, but I know that Father Time catches up with everybody.
Amen.
Even some of these men that I call our surrogate fathers. Some are going home to be with the Lord. Some are still here. Let's not hold you too long. I know you probably want to take Dad out to eat or you want to do whatever. I like to close. I like to close with a little story. One day in a foreign country, there was this young man. He was a young sprinter, very athletic. He had won all of his races, had never lost a race. He had won the international race, amen. He had won the national race. He got all these accolades. He still had trophies and had everything and records that had never been broken. Then one day in a foreign country across the street with this old, humped over, gray-headed man. And this man walked up to him, this old man said, "Son, aren't you that sprinter that got all these accolades that never lost a race? Aren't you that sprinter that haven't been beat yet?" And an old gray-headed man looked at him and said, "I just want to race you one time." The young boy looked at him and said, "Ah, well, I guess you have heard about me. Y'all know how them young folks do it, go to popping the collar, chest stick out. You have heard about me." Young man looked at him and said, "You said you want to raise me?" The old man looked at him and said, "Yes, can I just raise you one time?" The young man said, "Look like Father Time done touched your body. You got a hump in your back. You got wrinkles all in your face. You got gray hair all over your body, and you want to raise me?" The young man looked at him, and the old man said, "Yes, can I just raise you one time?" So they decided to go on up to the track somewhere and change the clothes and got down and got ready to start the race. Somebody shot the gun. Pow! And they took off running. The young boy was running just like he always do, styling, profiling, looking like a professional athlete, just striding and winning and riding and just running. He looked over his shoulder, looked on the side. The old gray-haired man was running too. He kept on running and he began to turn the first curve. This way he normally put a lot of speed in his race, and he sped up, looked over his shoulder. The old gray-haired man sped up too. He kept on going, and it was his natural thing he always done is the last curve he would give it all he got. He said, "I'm gonna speed up and lead the old man." He sped up, the old man sped up too. He kept running and he put his head down because he saw the finish line. He said, "I'm gonna leave him in the dust." He began to run and dig hard as he can. He began to run and give it all he got. But when he looked up, the old man shot out in front of him. The old man crossed the line first. The young boy looked and said, "Old man, who are you to outrun a young man like me?" The old man said, "Son, I too have never lost a race." He said, "I too have a lot of accolades. Oh, you know me, but you just don't know my name. Come here, young fella, sit down and let me tell you who I am." He said, "I had never lost a race. I caught up Abraham. I caught up with Isaac and Jacob." He said, "I even ran down the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I caught up with Moses one day." He said, "And then one day, I caught up with Jesus on Calvary Hill." He said, my name is Death. And when you're running down the track of life, one of these old days, the black horse of death is gonna come knocking on your door. I want to ask you, Family Worship Center, where will you spend eternity? What would you do? Because one day the black horse of death will come to you. It's going to happen because you're born of a man, a woman. I didn't think my daddy was ever supposed to die. I thought he was going to always be here. I heard my daughter Natasha one day. I told her, I said, "Girl, I see one or two gray hairs on me. These gray hairs are popping up." She said, "Daddy, you don't supposed to get old." I said, "Baby, as I get old, guess what? You getting older too. It don't stop." But see, when death come creeping up in your front door, are you going to go with the saints when they go marching in?
Yes.
Will you be in that number?
Yes.
It's going to happen. Keep saying good morning. Keep waking up. Keep getting up. Those steps will be shorter. Eyesight will be dimmer. Pain will be more. Bones will be cracking when you get up. Snack, popping, and pop. Yes, sir. You're going to feel it because you're not getting younger. It's going to happen. But when you make it in, when you be ready, will you be ready? Will you be ready? He's coming back. He's coming back. I know some of y'all looking at me like y'all been chewing on a dill pickle, but look here, I'm telling you the truth. Amen. It is the truth. I promised when I got up behind this sacred podium, I would not tell a lie. Amen. If you ask me something I don't have the answer, I'm going to tell you straight up, I don't know, but I'll get back with you. That means I'm going to do some studying. I'm going to find out. That's just the way I am. Amen. And remember this. When you're talking to your sister, talking to your mother, anybody of the opposite sex, or vice versa, they are as much expression of God as you are. Amen. Ab womb. A-B-W-O-O-N. Look it up. Find it. It's there. I won't just make this up. Amen, somebody. That's just the way it is. I hope I said something that you can take beyond these walls, that you can take out in that mean world. Help bring some people to Christ. Amen. Happy Father's Day, everybody. Amen. God bless you, St. James.